Ultimately, we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. The title of the message is Thankfulness, a Trait of True Believers. Thankfulness, a Trait of True Believers. You know, I don't know how many of you were here to listen to the man from Syria, and he ate at our house, and it just really, after talking with him, after hearing his presentations, I don't know how many of you know it, but that man, when he's back in the Middle East, he never stays more than 9 hours in one place before he moves in relationship to his life. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't have a family for fear of what might happen to them, but he is continuing to do the Lord's work. And I think of the proliferation of the things that we have. We have homes, we have food, we have transportation. We have all of the Bible reference material that we could possibly want. Very few of us, probably none of us, but very few of us are in fear for our lives. I'm just thinking of the good health care and the good friends that we have. We can meet publicly here. I advertised on Facebook the service this morning. At 6:45 this morning, I did a program, not live, but pre-recorded, did a program on WVCY. By the way, after the first of the year, someone has financed the program, and so we are going to be having a half an hour program in that time slot beginning the first of the year, so you can praise God. And those who you have promised to contribute and support that, please continue to do that. So that we can keep our obligations in relationship to that. But I just think of all the opportunities that we have. There's a verse that is quite confusing and can be quite confusing because it's so often misinterpreted, but it is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And the first word is in, and I want you to look at that word clearly and see it. It doesn't say for, it says in. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. There are many, many, many differences between believers and unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you don't need to turn there, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Many things changed in my life when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and that is what is supposed to happen. And there are many differences between believers and unbelievers, but one of the key differences relates to thankfulness. For the unbeliever, thanklessness is a key trait. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now here it is. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We're living in a time just like this. We're living in a time where a lot of people think Uncle Sam should be Papa Sam. And there's a lot of people who are believing that they are owed a living. Let me just tell you something. The only money that the government has, the only money that the state has, is the money that we give them. And the tragic thing is that there's a generation being raised which thinks that they're owed an education. They think that they're owed a living wage. They think that they're owed a house. They think that they're owed all these things. That isn't the way that it is, friends. But they protest for it. So here you have all these people. It's, what do they call it, Black Friday. And you have all these people down. Lynn and I happen to be down in, what is it called in Chicago? The Royal Mile, the Glorious Mile, the whatever it is. Magnificent Mile. Whatever it is, but I was down at near the Magnificent Mile just this past week. I was looking at a collection of rare Bibles that's going up for sale, and so I went down there to see them. But On the busiest shopping day of the year, you had tons and tons of people. I wasn't down there that time, but you had tons and tons of people blocking the businesses because they were upset about all kinds of things. They have this gimme philosophy, my friends. You know, there are so many years. I started out working. Number one, I was 12 years old. Oh, you're horrible parents. No, I was great. You know what? I had money in my pocket to spend. I didn't get minimum wage. But you know what? It taught me how to work, and there's only been a very brief time. There's only been a very brief time, about 5 days in my life, that I haven't had a job. One of those times was when I was quite sick, and another time was transitioning from one job to another job. But the Bible says, the hand of the diligent, he maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. I've had so many people tell me, and I've told you this before, but they say, you know, I'm working this job, but I'm not giving it my best because I'm not getting the wage that I should be getting, so I'm only just putting forth that much effort. You know what? You're a screwball. Not only that, you're sinful. You know what? If you're a believer, you need to work that job to be a good testimony for the cause of Christ, whether you're making $100 an hour or whether you're making $10 an hour. I'm just telling you, one of the key things that we see in the unsaved today is thanklessness. And if you have your Bibles there, turn with me also to one of the last day's traits in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1 through 7. Knowing this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The idea of perilous there is outrageous, and we indeed are living in outrageous times. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. One of the key things that we see in unsaved people today is unthankful. By contrast, thankfulness is to be a key trait of believers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Believers, we are not to just be thankful one day a year. It's okay to be prompted and reminded about being thankful, but we are to be thankful at all times, in all circumstances. Why? Because thanksgiving is a vital part of worship. Pastor Longsign read Psalm 100. Colossians 2:7 says this, says, as ye have been taught according therein with thanksgiving. We are to be thankful. Thanksgiving is not to be looked at as an optional trait for believers. It's not optional. Our text says that we are to give thanks in everything, because this is the will of God. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is often misunderstood, and there's often a wrong interpretation given. A wrong interpretation leads to a wrong application. The key to this verse is the word in. The Bible does not say be thankful for everything. It says, be thankful in everything. Let me give you some illustrations of what I am not thankful for. To be honest, there's a lot of things that I'm not thankful for. I'm not thankful for sin that destroys the lives of people. You don't know it, and I'm not going to point out any of these people, but there's one family sitting here this morning that has had a murder in their family. I know because, well, I don't need to tell you. There's been people sitting in this auditorium who've been sexually molested. There's people in this auditorium who've had abortions. There's people in this auditorium who have been robbed, and you feel so defiled when your house is robbed and they're into your house and they go through your things. I'm not thankful for that. There's people who are struggling because they have somebody in their family who's been addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol, and they see the damage and the devastation it does, and they struggle to hang on, and they're not thankful for that. People who are addicted to pornography, people who've been involved in adultery. You know, these things bring great pain and great sorrow, and God does not expect us to be thankful for those things. It brings sorrow to those people, and it brings sorrow and difficulty for a pastor, me, as I have to try and minister to those people who have had to go through this. It does. I love preaching. But you know, the worst thing is the people problems. I'm not thankful for the sins that are destroying our nation. I see what's happening in our nation as they have moved prayer out of the public school, and now some schools are taking down the flag because it's fearful, and they don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they want "In God We Trust" off the coin. What is wrong with them? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They're not thankful. They don't realize that their blessings come from God. And I'm not thankful when I see our nation being destroyed by this attitude. The sin of removing God and the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious word from the public realm is grieving to my heart, because I see God's hand of protection being slowly withdrawn from our nation. I'm not thankful for the Isaiah 59:14 characterization of our political leaders and our so-called justice system and our media. What does Isaiah 59:14 say? It says, "Judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off." And look at this. "For the truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." In my opinion, the Justice Department right now of our nation is a joke and a farce. Justice has fallen in the street. Our nation is almost gone. I'm not thankful for diseases. I'm not thankful for diabetes. I have that. I'm not thankful for that. Dementia, Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer, and others that have affected so many of our friends and loved ones. And I watch and I pray as I see these people and these family and ourselves having to deal with those things and those diseases, and then the death of our loved ones, and the sorrow that it brings and the struggle that it brings in the families. I'm not thankful for that. God doesn't say I have to be thankful for that. I'm not thankful. We'd have to knock out the walls. I'm not thankful for those who once worshiped with us, but they're no longer here. Now, I wouldn't be so grieved if they had gone to another Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, but they have just gone out from us, and they're wandering in the wilderness someplace, and they're not walking with the Lord anymore. December 10th, I'll start my 38th year of being a pastor here. If we just had those who have now chosen to wander in the wilderness, we would have to have 3 services on Sunday morning because they wouldn't all fit. I'd have had to send Pastor Longstein here early this morning because it would have been like Black Friday where they'd all want to come in and get into the service. That grieves my heart. It wouldn't be bad if they would go and get involved in another Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church someplace, but they don't. They either weren't saved or they're wandering in the wilderness someplace. And I'm not thankful for that. The list could go on and on. And, you know, there's a whole lot, but we're not told to be thankful for all things. We're told to be thankful in all things. And to be sure, this one is a tough verse, and once you get a handle on it, it'll ease your mind. I'm not saying you'll like it any better, but at least ease your mind. To help you understand what being thankful in all things means, I just need to quote to you Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, if you don't love God, that's a different story. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purposes. What does that mean? They're trying to serve God, walk with God, do what God wants them to do. Then he says, all things will work together for good. Here's what I'm saying. God is with us and guiding us, those who love him. He is there all the time. He is there each day. Now, I want you to know that all believers are going to face trials, and God works everything that comes into the believer's life for our ultimate good, because his goal is to perfect us and make us like himself. That's where we miss it sometimes. I want to say this. God's goal is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable to the image of his son. God is not here to make us comfortable. He's not here to make me comfortable, but he is here to conform us to be like Jesus. And sometimes that hurts. You know why? Because sometimes I'm just plain stubborn. You might not think so, just looking at me. Please don't talk to my wife. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, listen, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Sometimes God has to take this old boy through the fire to burn out the dross. And I'm not the only one. Consider Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There's an old song, I'm not even sure it's in our hymn book, Nancy, but it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I don't think it's in our hymnal, but it was in a previous hymnal. But see, that's what God wants us to do. See, here's what you can do. You can either present yourself to God as a believer as moldable clay. My dad and my mom, they were potters. And it's very interesting. I have a whole box full of what they did, but they would take this clay and they would throw this lump of clay on this potter's wheel. And then they would take their hand, and they would mold that clay as they chose to make a vessel that they wanted to make. Now, let me tell you something. You have the opportunity to present yourself to the Lord as moldable clay. But some of us are stubborn. And so we present ourselves to God as obstinate iron. And let me just tell you, iron can be molded. One of the images that lives in my mind is going with my dad to Rochester, Michigan, where he took his stone hammers, when they would get blunt and things, and we went to a literal old-fashioned blacksmith shop, and he had this bellows, and it would be pumped, and he would heat this iron up, and he would take that hammer, bam, 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 and he would heat it up some more, bam, bam, bam. And then you know what he did? He made it into what he wanted to make it. So there's some of you who are stubborn. There's some of you who want to do it your way. If you don't want to be moldable clay, then present yourself as obstinate iron, and the Lord will heat you up. And he'll make you into what he wants to make you. Then there's still some of you who are a step further. You want to be that stone. Ha, what's he going to do with this stone? I'll just tell you. He says, is not my word like a hammer? I was going to bring it up this morning. I have it's about 18 pounds. I have my dad's 18-pound, to start 20 pounds, but a 20-pound sledgehammer. You know what my dad did with 20-pound sledgehammer? He'd pick a rock that he wanted, and he'd beat on that rock and beat on that rock and beat on that rock, and you know what? There would come a time when he had marked that rock and beat on that rock just split open. God keeps us here because he wants to mold us and make us to be like his son. Jude 1:24, and I read this sometimes. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see, what I'm saying to you is this. God's goal is not to make you comfortable. That's not his goal. His goal is to make you conformable to his son. If that takes putting you through the fire, when I am tried, Job said, I shall come forth as gold. So you can be clay. You can be iron. You can be stone. But if you're God's child, he's up to the task of making you and to conforming you to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is up to you. One author said, is in the worst of situations, there is still much to be thankful to the Lord for. John 16:33 said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I know. Life is full of hardships and disappointments. And there are many things that I cannot understand, and the older I get, there's many things I understand that I can't change. I can wish them better or whatever, but there's so many things that are out of my control. I'm a control freak. I like to have the control. But there's so many things that are out of my control and out of your control. We must not let these things turn us from God. We must remember that Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do the best we can, but flee to the Lord when you're going through these difficult times. Well, when the Apostle Paul was facing things, and I struggle with this, but I'm going to tell you what he said because it's true. You know how I know it's true? Because it's in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Boo! I'm still learning that. He says, I know how to abound. I'm pretty good at knowing how to abound. I like the abounding part. I'm not very good at knowing how to be abased in going through the trials. You know, sometimes I'm awful tempted. I'm going to suggest that there's one other reason for trials. And I have had personal experience with this not too long ago. I suggest that another reason for trials in the life of a believer is to get us to long for heaven. Paul wrote, "For I am in a strait betwixt two." He knew that there was work to be done, but he says, I'm having a struggle. I'm pulled both directions. I'm a strait between two. And here's what he said. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Say, what are you talking about? The last months and weeks of my dad's life. So much pain, so much suffering. And I remember Linda and I going into his room and telling him, "Dad, you can let go." He was a believer. "You don't have to fight for us, Dad. You can let go." And we sang to him. And praise God, he went home to glory. I suggest that sometimes God allows us Christians to have these struggles to get us prepared and to long for, as the Apostle Paul said, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ. You know, there's much to be thankful for. I want to finish it on a very positive note. Despite the difficulties that we face, and sometimes some things are better than other times. You go through good times, you go through bad times. But you know what? Be thankful for your salvation. You can't lose it. You're saved by grace. You're saved forever. But there's billions who will die without Christ. And yet we're saved. And when we take our last breath on this earth, we step into the presence of the Lord. Are you thankful for that? I am. Be thankful for our boundless temporal blessings that we've come to expect. You should have seen the layout that we had at our house on Thanksgiving. I'll tell you what. I do remember being in Haiti, a third world country, as missionaries with my wife. And our house help was so thankful for the leftovers, because we didn't have refrigeration that was stable. And they couldn't wait to get our leftovers because they fed not only their families but some of their friends from the leftovers that we had at our home. Many of them did not know where their next meal's coming from. I don't want to talk about it, but I know about the rib steak I'm going to be eating when I go home. I know about the zucchini. Oh, shut up. But do you realize that the temporal blessings that we have, and there are so many people around the world, I have the best water that there is in the United States. You don't know it, but Oak Creek water. You know they sell Oak Creek water in other places around the United States because we have such high quality water in Oak Creek? There's other places. We couldn't drink the water in Haiti. It either had to be boiled or we had to put halazone tablets in it, and that stuff then tastes like you were drinking iodine. So that's when I drank a lot of bottled soda because I couldn't stand to drink the water. And when you're out ministering, you can't stop and drink from a drinking fountain, or if you go into the restaurant and they serve you ice, you know, water in a glass, you don't dare drink it. Do you realize how good we have it here? Food, clothing, transportation. Most of the world has very little of that. And I want to say something. I know some of you are struggling, but you're here. Be thankful for the degree of health that you have. And don't take it for granted. You're not in a hospital. There's some of our people who are. You're not in hospice. There's some of our people who are. You're not at home in a sick bed today. And when I am sick, I have access to the best health care in the world. And yet I remember one time going to the hospital in Haiti, and I begged my wife to get the prescription and take me home because my home was 10 times cleaner than the hospital that I was in, and it was supposed to be one of the good ones. I pray so for many years, but I'm constantly getting emails and calls for people lamenting for their inability to find a good church. Be thankful for a good church. Good churches are both unusual and scarce and becoming more so. This church is a good place where the Bible is upheld and preached without apology. And I am very grateful for it, but we have a good degree of unity and peace that permeates this church. Praise the Lord. It is a place where our children can get to know the truth without compromise. It's a place where we share and bear one another's burdens. Come to Sunday school. Come to Wednesday night. It's a place where we meet missionaries and can have a small part in their ministry around the world. It's a place where we can meet publicly without fear to this point of arrest, being beheaded, or being censored. Another thing I'm thankful for, our blessed hope. We live in a wicked and a perverse world. It's becoming more so obvious. This present evil world is not our home. One day, just like today, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that's what I've been signing my letters, until the shout. We're going to keep on keeping on until the shout, but that time's coming. And believers will finally be eternally home. And finally, and it's not an all-inclusive list, be thankful for settled peace. Told you many times, it's not original with me. I don't know what the future holds for me or for you. I don't know. But I do know who holds the future, and I have confidence in our Lord. Philippians 4:6-9 is what I'll conclude with. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace be with you. We have much to be thankful for, friends, even in the midst of troubled times. Would you agree? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's what keeps me going. My relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and my relationship with my wife on a temporal basis. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're missing a great deal of peace that you could have in your life.